You want fried bread with your sausages? There's porridge to follow.
Susan looked at the mess sizzling in the huge frying pan. It wasn't a sight to be seen on an empty stomach, although it could probably cause one. Albert could make an egg wish it had never been laid. "Haven't you got any muesli?" she said.
"Is that some kind of sausage?" said Albert suspiciously.
"It's nuts and grains."
"Any fat in it?"
"I don't think so."
"How are you supposed to fry it, then?"
"You don't fry it."
"You call that breakfast?"
"It doesn't have to be fried to be breakfast," said Susan. "I mean, you mentioned porridge, and you don't fry porridge."
"Who says?"
"A boiled egg, then?"
"Heh, boiling's no good. It don't kill off all the germs."
"Boil me an egg, Albert."
As the echoes bounced across and died away, Susan wondered where the voice had come from. Albert's ladle tinkled on the tiles.
"Please?" said Susan.
"You did the voice," said Albert.
"Don't bother about the egg," said Susan.
The voice had made her jaw ache. It worried her even more than it worried Albert. After all, it was her mouth.
"I want to go home."
"You are home," said Albert.
"This place, this isn't my home."
"Yeah? What's the inscription on the big clock?"
"Too late," said Susan promptly.
"Where are the beehives?"
"In the orchard."
"How many plates have we got?"
"7.
Susan shut her mouth firmly.
"See? It's home to part of you," said Albert.
"Look, Albert," said Susan, trying sweet reason in case it worked any better this time around. "Maybe there is someone sort of in charge of things, but I'm really no one special. I mean..."
"Yeah? How come the horse knows you?"
"Yes, but I really am just a normal girl."
"Normal girls didn't get a My Little Binky set on their 3rd birthday," snapped Albert. "Your dad took it away. The master was very upset about that. He was trying."
"I mean, I'm an ordinary kid."
"Listen, ordinary kids get a xylophone. They don't just ask their granddad to take his shirt off."
"I mean, I can't help it. That's not my fault. It's not fair."
"Really? Oh, why didn't you say?" said Albert sourly. "That cuts a lot of thin ice, that does. I should just go out now if I was you and tell the universe that it's not fair. I'll bet it'll say, 'Oh, all right then, sorry you be troubled. You'll let off.'"
"That's sarcasm. You can't talk to me like that. You're just a servant."
"That's right, and so are you. So I should get started if I was you. The rat'll help. He mainly does rats, but the principle's the same."
Susan sat with her mouth open.
"I'm going outside," she snapped.
"I ain't stopping you."
Susan stormed out through the back door, across the enormous expanses of the outer room, past the grindstone in the yard and into the garden.
"Huh," she said.
If someone had told Susan that death had a house, she would have called them mad, or even worse, stupid. But if she'd had to imagine one, she'd have drawn, in sensible black crayon, some towering, battlemented Gothic mansion. It would loom and involve other words ending in oom, like gloom and doom. There would have been thousands of windows. She'd fill odd corners of the sky with bats. It would be impressive. It wouldn't be a cottage. It wouldn't have a rather tasteless garden. It wouldn't have a mat in front of the door with "Welcome" on it. Susan had invincible walls of common sense. They were beginning to melt like salt in a wet wind, and that made her angry. There was Grandfather Lezek, of course, on his little farm so poor that even the sparrows had to kneel down to eat. He'd been a nice old chap so far as she could recall, a bit sheepish now she came to think about it, especially when her father was around. Her mother had told Susan that her own father had been... Now she came to think about that, she wasn't sure what her mother had told her. Parents were quite clever at not telling people things, even when they used a lot of words. She'd just been left with the impression that he wasn't around. Now